So would you welcome him tonight in Jesus' name? Amen.
You're loving Jesus tonight. I'm very excited to be with you. And, you know, God's been really talking to me that this is a season of the clash of kingdoms. Come on now. I mean, the kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of light. And we know who wins. Come on. But this is a season of that clash going on. And we're going to begin to see, I mean, it is a violent season. It's not for the timid. In fact, think about it. The most repeated command in Scripture by far is fear not. God's literally, and it's not a suggestion, by the way. It's a command. He commands you to not fear. Come on. I want you to understand that. So if it's a command, when you fear, you're breaking a command. Come on. God's will is you have no fear. Come on. No fear. He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And we during this situation, it depends which voice you're listening to. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Well, he's basically saying, take heed how you weigh certain things. You know, if you're always listening to the naysayers, then when God says yes, you're going to say no. Because that's where your ear is. Faith comes by hearing, fear comes by hearing. So you can choose what you're... You made the right choice tonight, by the way. Come on now. See, God wants you to stop lamenting what you've been going through and start rejoicing in what you're going to. Come on now. You know, many things going on right now is God's trying to get you back, your confidence back. Because with your confidence comes your reward. And the enemy's been trying to shake your confidence through circumstances, through your history. You know, through people telling you their reality. Come on now. Because everything's a choice. Faith is a choice. Fear is a choice. Life is a choice and death is a choice. Come on. And the power is in your mouth. But it starts with your ears. Come on. See, we're coming to a time where it's going to get really interesting. And God wants you to turn up the volume of your faith. Turn it up. Come on, get your shout of victory back. The line of Judah has roared. And he's on the move. And the righteous are bold as a lion. And we're going to get into that tonight. I'm going to talk about the roar tonight. You know, it's time to take steps of faith. And time to go big. Stop limiting God because you look at your own limitations. Come on. God never said it was totally up to you. In fact, when we complain about what we don't have, God says, what do you have? He said, the miracle's already in the house. Come on. You already have what you need to get the job done. But when you say, well, I just got a little oil, then you don't borrow enough vessels. Come on. So again, your capacity will determine your flow. According to expectations, so be it. We're going to get into something. Something happened around the first of the year that shook me to my core. And it just, you know, I went into prayer, and it was right around, I believe it was like December 28th. And I was sitting in my study, and I heard audibly the loudest roar I'd ever heard in my life. And, you know, I'm not one of those guys, I mean, I do see things, and I do hear things at times. But I'm not, you know... I'm not prone to a lot of things. And I literally shook for 45 minutes. And when I finally could compose myself, I asked, I said, Lord, what is this? And he said this. He said, the Lion of Judah is on the move. And the lion has roared. We're in a season. Now, I didn't realize at the time, everyone talks about, but I didn't think about, we were entering the roaring 20s. Come on. Come on. And I begin to think about when, in Scripture, when the lion roared. And, you know, let's go to Amos 3:8. We're going to have some fun tonight. At least I'll have enough fun for all of us. Because I honestly believe God's going to get boldness back in the church. Come on. I believe it's time to be silent no more. Come on. It's time that the church speaks up because we are right. It's time for us to be bold as a lion without being obnoxious. But not backing down. We're going to have to fight for our freedom. Come on. It was for liberty God set us free. Don't let anyone else put you back into bondage. Come on. Don't let people overreach their dictates. Come on. You know, playing God. But Amos 3:8, it says, a lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? And this is what God began to say. He said, I am roaring, and my prophets are going to start prophesying. We're coming into a very strong prophetic move of God. Very, very strong prophetic move of God. That literally the voice of God is going to be heard once again on the earth. Come on now. That literally it's not even going to be echoes. Only thing it's going to echo is heaven. It's not going to be hollow. It's not going to be without substance. It's going to be weighty with the glory of God. And God is beginning to change. As his voice is roaring, it's going to begin to silence every other voice. Come on. It's going to silence unbelief. God's going to vindicate. He's about ready to prove who's right. Man has made a judgment. Now God's going to make a judgment. Come on now. The referees have ruled on the field, but it's about ready to get overruled from heaven. Amen. Come because they've made some wrong calls. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? Let's go to Hosea 11:10. I want you to get, you know, some of you got that in you. I do, man. I'm just looking and saying, I mean, I've been like shut up in a stall, and I'm being released, and there's fire in me, man. I'm about ready to tread down some wicked stuff. Come on. You know, I hear God say, I want to pick a fight. Can't we all get along? No, not right now. Not right now. Not right now. Until the righteous rule, not right now. Come on. You know. It's time that you rise up. Come on. And no longer let them put you in a place that's not your place. Come on. Well, don't you care about people? Yes, I care about people. I care about people's liberty. I care about people's freedom. I care about businesses flourishing. I care about kids actually getting an education. Yes, I care. The reason I care is I'm willing to fight because I care. Yeah. I'm tired of people saying, well, you don't care. I said, no. You know, I don't care to live in fear. That's right. I don't care to live in a ditch. I'd rather face the giant. Yes. Come on. Yes. Let's get on with it. I don't want to be hiding in the ditch saying, hey, you know, it's not time yet. Well, it is time. It's time to come out of hiding. It's a wake-up call to the church. You know what the enemy honestly meant to silence the church is going to make it bolder than it's ever been before. That's what's happening. People are finally fed up. They're fed up because they know it's not right, and there's something in their spirit that's standing up and saying, no more. No more. I'm not putting up with this anymore. You're not going to do this anymore. You're not going to tell me I have to hide in my house anymore. Come on. Especially when the facts don't even dictate it. People say, well, that sounds political. Everything seems to be political. And it is. It's actually politically correct by my king. Come on now. That's what it is. It's very politically correct. Trust me, it's heaven's viewpoint. It's very politically correct. Come on. It's just time. Hosea 11, verse 10. Look at this. It says they will walk, and this is a New American Standard. I don't know what other versions say. I don't really care right now. But it says they will walk after the Lord, and he will roar like a lion. Indeed, he will roar, and his sons will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like the birds from Egypt. And the doves in the land of Assyria, I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. He says, literally, I'm going to begin to roar, and all of a sudden, my sons, and many of them been in hiding, are going to come on out of hiding. I'm going to roar, and they're going to come out of hiding from every direction. Come on. It's about time. Is this okay? Let's go to Joel chapter 3. I just want to make sure you get enough word on it. If I can find Joel 3, that's really sad. I know, it's right here. Good. Should have opened up. I mean, I'm in Joel 2 every day now. Every single day, because we're living in Joel 2. We really are. Everything's going to be restored. God's about ready to remember us. He's about ready to turn this thing and make up for the wasted years. In Joel 3, verse 16, it says, the Lord roars from Zion, and utters his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth tremble, but the Lord is a refuge for his people, a stronghold to the sons of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountains. So Jerusalem will be holy, and the strangers will pass through no more. And in that day, the mountains will drip sweet wine. See, the Lord roars, and the result is the mountains dripping new wine. Come on now. It's a new anointed day. The Lion of Judah is on the move. The Lord is roaring, and he's going to put a roar back in the church. Come on. We're going to begin to hear the shout of the King in our midst. And there's a boldness. We're going to get bold as a lion, bold as a lion. Sometimes scary bold. And people are going to be shocked at the boldness they have. There are times now I say things I normally wouldn't have said before. I really don't care what people think. I'm not trying to offend them. I'm trying to wake them up. Come on. The bottom line is I'm not going to live in bondage just to make them happy. And I'm not pulling back. It's a wake-up call. The Lion of Judah has roared. It's a wake-up call to the church. It's high time we awake out of sleep. We awake. The sleeping giant is waking up. The sleeping giant is waking up. It was a vision of the last days revival. The sleeping giant is finally waking up. The church is becoming the church. And we're not just dwelling in buildings. We're not doing our little thing in the corner anymore. Many of us are screaming out, we are essential. Yeah. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. If you don't think we're essential, wait until you see what happens when we're gone. Come on now. We are the most essential people on the face of the earth. We are literally the light and the salt. Without us, everything fails. Because we're carrying God. And we literally are holding back the evil one. It's time we don't look at ourselves as some little thing going on. We begin to realize what our real call is. The line of Judah's roar will wake the mighty men for war. And Joel 3:9, the mighty woman for war. It said, well, come on, guys. It's time to fight. Some of you need to get your fight back. You need to get your feistiness back. You know, other people's literally, their souls determine. It literally depends on you fighting. You're not just fighting for you. You're fighting for your kids. You're fighting for their destiny. You're fighting basically to determine what type of country this is going to be. Is this going to be a country where God's kicked out of everything? And trust me, if this fight goes the wrong way and if the church doesn't fight, he will be kicked out of every single aspect of society. Yes. In the name of science. Yeah. I get so upset when they say, when we're into science, and like you're into God, you must be dumb. And I'm thinking, who created this science? And I'll take our best scholars next to their best scholars any day of the... I'll put my son up against everyone they have. Even from an intellectual standpoint, the only difference is he's united with the one who created everything. They're trying to create another world. They're Babylon. Get God out. Let's all speak the same language of fear. Let's create a system where we can rule instead of God. Come on. Well, no more. See, the lion of Judah is roaring, and it's going to cause leaders to put a trumpet to their lips and literally cause people to report for duty, sir. It's not a time for indistinct sounds. This is a very distinct time in history, very distinct. And in fact, everything's riding right now. Everything's riding on the choices we make. And I know what God's will is. It's his will none should perish. It's his will that everybody be set free. It's his will that people don't live by fear, but live by faith. It's his will to add value to every life. It's his will actually to empower people as they yield to him. If you want to know his will, just look at heaven. That's his will for the earth. But we're going to have to fight to see it done. There's something that is just going off on the inside of me. I'm watching. You know, we're watching people coming alive like never before. I was getting my coffee this morning because I drink a lot of it. I'm wired both ways. I am not in the decaffeinated section of heaven. I am not. In fact, I'm charismatic and Pentecostal, and I don't know if the Pentecostal part is because of the caffeine. Come on. But I got to have my coffee. There's one rule around the house. No one talks to me till I get my coffee. Anything I say before I get my coffee, they can't hold against me. They cannot. So, you know, now people understand that. But I know, you know, I went to get my coffee this morning, and the lady was talking to me, and she said, "Well, what are you doing here in town?" I said, "Well, I'm preaching." And they said, "You mean the churches are open?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Ours is." I said, "The church I'm going to today is." I said, "Our church back home, we are open." And I said, "You know, we've actually had one outdoor service because we can't fit the, because of social distancing, we can't put the people in the buildings. And we actually own the mall, so we actually have the huge parking lot." So, you know. But at the same time, I said, "Yeah, and we have one indoor, but we have to do like every other row." And she said, "It's so wrong for any church to turn away from people that need Jesus." I said, "You're right." He said, should be illegal. I said, "That should be illegal. The churches should be wide open. Come on now." I said, and she said, "Yeah." I said, you believe?" She said, "Well, I believe in Jesus." I said, "Hey, I'm at church all week. Put your feet where your mouth is. Come on now." Because we're not backing away. Because I believe there are people talking about God now that weren't talking about Him before. I believe there are people now. You know, when they took the Gallup poll, the latest Gallup poll said the number one things people wanted to see reopened was church. It came above restaurants, and it came above sporting events. By far. It wasn't even close. The number one, and this was the Gallup poll, it was also a CBS poll, and NBC poll, and that scares them. That scares them, because that means they are absolutely losing their hold. That's what it means. Come on. That's what it means. It means that their propaganda is not working, it's working in reverse. Come on. That people before, see, all you have to do is tell people they can't go to church, and half the rebels will show up. You tell them they can't. They may not even ever go to church again, but they'll show up in rebellion. Come on. So don't think this isn't working for us. It is. See, the Lion of Judah is on the move, and if we're going, we have to move with Him. In Him we live, we move, we have our being. It is time now that we get out, let our light shine, let our gifts come on out. And be willing to take some heat. Because you will get persecuted. I get persecuted by relatives. "You mean you're going around people?" "Don't you know there's a virus out there?" I said, "Yeah, it's called stupid." "I think you caught it." You know, I said, "No, I know. I said, I'm not going to be stupid. There's some precautions that's okay to take. But I am not limiting my life. I'm not living in fear. And yes, I want to get around people." Come on now. Because what part of "don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together"? Don't we understand? Come on. And if the enemy can isolate you, he can take you out. So, you know, that's just not going to happen. See, the revival roar will cause us to begin to cry out for souls. We're actually going to begin to be concerned about the lost again. Church I go to in Tulsa, since the virus has taken place, we have literally given away 250,000 meals. Before then, we were giving away probably one-tenth of that. But, you know, everything's increasing. But our influence is increasing. Because while everyone else was pulling back, we were going forward. And when even they were legislating against us meeting together, it was okay to have our food bank open with our worship team, with everything out there, feeding people both spiritually and physically. We just decided we weren't going to pull back. We're just going to go forward. Come on. You know, I just feel like the heart's cry in Genesis 30, verse 1, where, you know, where basically, now I forget which wife it was. Now I'm not talking my wife, so no, just kidding. But I thought it was Rachel. But when Rachel said, basically, he said, give me children lest I die. That should be the cry of the church now. Give me souls, lest we die. Give me new births, God. Give me my heathen, God. Give me the people nobody else wants. And be honest with you, people without God are so scared. They are so scared. And the only perfect love can cast out that fear. And we have the answer. We should be standing up, shouting the answer, say, come to us, we're different. Our God is different. We're serving a different God, and we are different. Come on. We're going to stay happy and rejoice in the midst of everything. We're not losing the victory. We already got the victory. It just makes sense. See, what I found is the revival roar actually will activate intercessors to begin to groan. I'm hearing, we're seeing a prayer movement like I've never seen before right now. Never seen it like this. People that I know for years probably hadn't prayed more than a couple times, they're beginning to pray. It's come to that. But as soon as Zion travails in Isaiah 66, 8, she gives birth. As soon as Zion, as soon as the church begins to pray, something begins to happen. Especially when it's heartfelt, not going through the motions. But because we care. I care what happens to this nation. I care about the next group. I care about my son's generation. I care that they'll have a future. See, the revival roar will cause revival around the world as multitudes bow to the true and living God. What we're going to see is worship like we've never seen it before. Worship, I mean total abandonment in worship. Total celebration, and which actually causes a total manifestation. Because God inhabits the praises, and when Jesus is lifted up, he draws all men. On my son's thing, they're at worship list off the chart today. I was watching their service, and it's freaky. You just sense like, whoa. And what I've noticed about their thing, their campus, there's just such a draw. And every week, they literally have hundreds of people showing up. They don't even know why they're there. They just feel like they have to be. They said, we just know something's happening here. Something's happening here that we need. Many of them, they weren't even thinking about God. They just got close. But the atmosphere, what would happen if the atmosphere began to change? And all of a sudden the glory of God just begins to come in and hover. Everything would begin to change, and everything that's not of him would crumble in his presence. All strongholds would begin to get torn down. See, when revival begins to roar, this nation will turn back to God. As we humble ourselves, as we pray, as we seek His face, as we turn from our wicked ways, and part of our just wicked ways is indifference. You know, people ask me, I say, what do you think the greatest sin of the church is? I think the greatest sin of the church, obviously, to me, is indifference. It's called lukewarm. Because, you know, they feel like their needs are met. We're rich, we're healed, we're full. It sounds like Laodicea. Like it's all about us. And with that attitude, what does the Lord say to that church? You're naked, you're poor, and you're blind. You think you got your all act together and all it is an act because you don't care. He said, I wish you were hot and cold, which is really interesting because if you study that in the Roman culture, there were two cities right outside. One was famous for its cold springs, and the water would flow there, and people would go to get healed. The other was hot springs, both within about a 50, 100-mile radius of where Laodicea was. So back in those days, they're being as inventive as they were. They actually created aqueducts to bring the water in. The problem was it was made of clay, residue got in it, so it tasted yucky. And by the time the cold water got there, it was no longer cold. And by the time the hot water got there, it became lukewarm. So when they actually drank it, they spit it out of their mouth. So when it was said to the church of Laodicea, they knew what he's talking about. Because it said, you've lost your ability to heal anything. You've lost your ability to influence anything. It just has to be spit out because it's not worth anything. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It just means you've lost your influence. Come on. And that's where a lot of the church world is. We've lost our ability to influence people. And that's when you have to repent and return. Times of refreshing from the presence of God. Does this make sense? And see, when your revival begins, the revival roar gets in your spirit. We begin to grant the Holy Spirit freedom to perform miracles and healing in our lives and through our lives. We now want to participate in everything God's doing. Come on. I want to be the voice of God. I want to be a voice of God in this generation. I do. I won't be someone that's not just an echo. I want to mark people. I want to say things where the Holy Ghost can fall on what I said. I want God to actually confirm what I'm speaking because I'm speaking His word with signs and wonders. I don't want powerless service or presenceless services or just enough to get by. Because there's a shift in the spirit out of survival mode into revival mode. And many of us, we've been in the wilderness so long that now when God's trying to move us, we're holding on to the barely get by mentality. And say, well, God, this is good enough. And God will bypass that and get the hungry. Come on. I'm just being as honest as I can be on that. It takes courage to go into new realms. It takes courage to let go of everything that was familiar to you. It takes courage to say, okay, we're going to try this. You know? And I believe we're coming to a season where God is demanding we take courage. He's not only saying fear not, He's saying take courage. Go possess the land. Take courage. It's time that you get out of the thing you've been in for years and years and years. And many times when you first got in it, it took courage to get into where you are. But you've been stuck so long that you're going to have to learn how to be fresh again. Come on. We just can't go through the motions. We just have to grab hold of him and say, God, if you're saying it, I'm going to say it. I don't care what the people think because I care. Because I do care about the people. If I care about the people, I don't want them stuck in something that's destroying them. Come on. Am I helping you? That's the revival roar. See, let the revival roar come. You know, when you get that revival roar, you decide you're going to obey God, not man. You know, in Acts 4:20, they said, you know, they just made that statement. You decide whether it's right whether we obey you or obey God, but we're going to obey God. We can't help but speak what we've seen God doing. We can't help it. We're not going to be silent. You can't silence us anymore. There is no such thing as silent faith. No such thing. No such thing as silent faith. Faith has to be verbalized. Has to be. Many times God's just looking in heaven saying, going to see who they're going to side with. This is a test. This is an allegiance test. Are they going to be popular because they want the praises of men? Or do they want me more? I'm grateful for people like Rodney Howard Brown that just kept having services. You know, nobody in his congregation got sick. The only people that got sick was the media. Looking at what he was doing, having conniptions. You know, I'm grateful for people like that. See, the revival roar will actually cause the water on the inside of you to come out. It does. Out of your belly will flow rivers, 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 rivers. When you begin to get so caught up in what God's doing, you actually get caught up in a flow. And you don't really, you know, it's almost like you have to go this way now. I've learned there's advantages to being my age because I don't care as much as I used to. I've been through enough. I've been through the fire. I've been through the flood. I've had people love me. I've had people hate me. And I'm just going to do the right thing no matter what. And I'm going to keep loving people no matter what. But I'm going to tell them the truth no matter what. And I'm going to say what God says and let the chips fall where they may. And not be that concerned about it. And I'm going to keep flowing with God. I don't know about you. How many of you are ready to keep flowing with God? Just keep flowing with God. I believe this church, you don't do good stagnant. You don't. You're not good at playing church. So you might as well be the church. You're not that good. You're not really good at being religious. So you might as well just get all the way in. Come on. I mean, you know, I found out something with the Holy Ghost. You just can't have just a little bit. You really can't. You can't. You're making a decision. You either flow or you forbid him to do things. Come on. You either have a man-led thing or a spirit-led thing. See, how many of you know we're going to give free way for Jesus, the Lion of Judah, to roar his word through us. And may his word burn on our hearts that we can't contain it. May we get that fire that cannot be contained. Our God is a consuming fire. You can't walk with God without being bold, and you can't walk with God without being on fire. It's impossible. You'll just become like him. Now, I'm not saying you're going to change your personality, become loud when you're not loud. Boldness has nothing to do with loudness. I'm loud bold. My wife is quiet bold. Sometimes her boldness scares me when she whispers something because it's so direct, so direct. I kind of shout it, not as direct. She whispers it with no malintent at all. I mean, she'll just be around. Well, that's your sin. And I will spend time trying to soften it a little bit, even though I'm louder. And people say, well, I'd much rather deal with you because she's so direct. But I think it's time we get direct. I think it's time we call things as they are and love people. But wake them up. To some people you honestly can't be super nice to or they're never going to listen to you. Come on. Does this make sense? See, I'm desperate for a move of God. When there's no fire, nothing gets done. If the altar's not rebuilt, there's no fire. So you have to spend time in God's presence, praying, seeking His face, asking Him to change you so you can change the world. Tell Him to light you back up. I mean, I've got something in me. I've always been on fire, but I've never been in this place because I'm a whole different. Because now my role is one of a father. I finally got there through experience and through the fire of God in me. And all my babies are beginning to birth revival. All my babies are. The ones I'm directly involved in are beginning to break wide open. Come on. You know, I finally have a group of kids that actually want to do things, and some of my kids are like 50 years old. Come on. But they want to do something. They want to change things. Does this make sense? See, true revival cannot be organized. It can't be, because the wind blows wherever it will. You can't figure it out. It just breaks out, and I'm never even sure where it's going to break out and what thing is going to break out. God may just sit on a song and you just got to stay there for a long time. But if God likes it, I want to go with it. It can't be subsidized by trying to spend all our time raising money. God is the one. And literally, He supplies our need, but He also is the one that basically looses everything you need. You can't even advertise revival. It advertises itself. My son's pastor says that they laugh. They say, even though we're on social media, we haven't paid a dime. Not a dime of advertisement. And they had this huge revival breaking out and all that. I mean, they say advertisers, when fire spreads, everyone knows there's a fire because people are yelling, fire, fire, fire. So everyone comes to watch the fire burn. Come on. And they know when it's the real deal and then when it's just a production. Come on. It's not advertised. Jesus will advertise Himself. I love what John Wesley said. He said, I just set myself on fire. Like you said, everyone will come and watch me burn. That's what I want to do. I just want to burn with God. I was on fire with hell before I got saved. I just want to stay on fire with God. Come on. And the glory, as we unveil our faces, the glory comes. Come on. I know so many preachers talked about taking off the mask. For years, that was their favorite sermon. They need to get back on that one. With unveiled face, you behold. You don't have to wear any type of mask. You know, God loves you the way you are, and as you behold Him, He changes you. And you're not where you used to be, but you're not where you're going to be. So don't get discouraged. Don't beat on yourself and don't feel, you know. But let your light shine where you are right now so you can get more light. Something's about ready to explode. Some of you, honestly, you know that there's a roar going on. You know, revival can't be rationalized. God is so out of the box. He doesn't live in man-made boxes. He's so out of it. We have been limiting so much what God can do. You know, I love our pastor because, you know, even today he was preaching on, we're owning our mile. We're owning our mile. We already own, you know, the mall, but we're owning our mile. It's the most populated place in Tulsa is right where we are located. We're just going to own it, man. Why not? Why not? We're going to reach more lives than we've ever reached before. Why not? Actually, we own the movie theaters, but we had in the process where we have a lot of other things where they say, as we can pay cash, we take over. Ideal location. Ideal location. See, the Holy Ghost is on you. He wants to change you. And I don't know about you, I know God wants to heal this nation, and the only way he can heal it is the same way Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, went about doing good and healing, Without that anointing, without that power, we can't heal anything. I'm ready to make the shift. You know, church I'm going to in Tulsa, they've made the shift into a revival style ministry. They made a shift. He said, we're not settling for anything but a move of God. And we want everyone that nobody else wants. You know, because we feed so many people around our church, the gang members protect the church. Don't you touch them. Don't you steal from that place. Because we have fed them. We have fed their kids. Taking care of them. It's a comeback mode. There's a shift going on. There's a shift going on in the spirit. There's a shift going on. It's our turn now. Many of you, it's your turn now. You've operated on one level, but God wants to bring you into a whole different level. He wants to have your life have more meaning than ever before. And it's really funny because, you know, I spent a couple of months at home and, you know, I always told my wife, I said, you know, I don't think I'll ever retire because you don't retire from a calling. I was wondering what it's like. It didn't take me very long. And I love my wife. I absolutely love. The hardest thing I have is leaving home with her. But the bottom line is after a while, both of us were thinking, you got to go. You just got to go. You know, it's in you. You got to go, man. You just got to go, you know. You know, and we start doing a lot more ministry. We're going to go together a lot more coming up because she's good at what she does. Anybody on Facebook understands she is good at what she does. But the bottom line is we, you know, my wife, she said, I hope that got it out of your system. Because she knew there's a part of me that was thinking, well, I wonder what it would be like. And I know I can be happy anywhere I am. Because the two ingredients of my happiness is God and me. And we're both there everywhere I am. I love God. I love being with me. I'm a happy man. I don't even have to have people around me. I can talk to myself and have an intelligent conversation. And people say, you know, I love crowds and I love being alone. You know? So I have no problem with that. But when I realize a purposeless life, just sitting still when the whole world's about ready to go to hell in a handbasket, I just couldn't look at myself in the mirror and be that. And I think it's time we wake up. There's a cause. The cause will get you out of the ditch. Only the cause will. When David saw all the mighty men of Israel in a ditch, the first thing he said is, they're not a cause. What are you guys doing in the ditch? Don't you understand there's a cause? And the anointing is because Without the cause, there's not much anointing, because why? You don't need an anointing to do nothing. You need an anointing to do something only God can do. And God's bringing you out in every area of your life. He's going to increase influence. He's going to increase impact. He's going to increase fire. There's a shift going into a revival mode, which means you fan in the flame the gift that's in you every day. Every day. And you look yourself in the mirror, just like Jesus said. I look myself in the mirror now. I said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, because he's anointed me to set captives free, to recover his sight. He has literally put his words in my mouth like a fire. These signs follow. Everywhere I go, these signs follow me. Come on now. I make a difference. I am a difference maker. I can light things up. And that's not, and I know why I can do it. It's all because of him. But I'm no longer going to sit around in a pouty little thing or sit in the corner and play religious games. I'm going to go do kingdom stuff. I'm going out and I'm touching Fortune 500 people. And literally people that are making movies. And people that are creating. People that are moving. And I'm hanging around younger people, because honestly, I am a young man in an older body. That's what I am, man. I'm like a little kid in an older body. I just have got to be around life. You know, that's why I was so happy when my mother-in-law said what she said. I'm going to the hairdresser. Aren't you afraid you may die? She said, I don't want to look like this when I'm dead. I like that. My stepmom's the same way. She did, when she's 80 years old, was the first time she jumped out of an airplane. They say, aren't you afraid of dying? She said, no, I'm afraid of not living. Only reason she didn't do it early, my dad wouldn't let her do it. When my dad died, she was freed up to jump out planes. Come on now. I like that woman. She is so much fun. She said, do you want to jump out planes? I said, you're crazy. I have no desire to jump out of a plane. I have no desire. I'm not afraid to ride in one. I am not jumping out. You know, but I'll watch you. Because, you know, it may be your last jump. But what a way to go. Woo! I'll fly away. Oh, glory. No. Some of you, honestly, you got to get your spunk back. Come on now. You got to get your fight back. You got to get your fun part back. Some of you need to get a little feisty again. You know, many of you, you have been stuck in a little box long enough. It's time to come out. Time to come out. It's time to say, no, 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 no. I know I'm from generations of box dwellers. I mean, we've all lived in the same box, passed down from generation to generation. It has a lid. You can only go that high. You can look out just a little bit. Just a little bit, just enough to be frustrated that you'll never get free from that. And you have to live this stinking box the rest of your life. You know? And the reason is, it's in your DNA. Guess what? When you got born again, you got a different DNA. And the moment you got a different DNA, literally when you find out what your spiritual DNA is, there's no box that can hold you. It can't contain him. It can't contain you. Come on. Resurrection powers on the inside of you. And literally, God's going to bring back to life some of that fresh vision, some of that fresh fire, and some of that youthfulness. Because if you're not youthful, you're not useful. And I don't care how old you are, you can be youthful. Because it has to do with vision. How many of you tonight say, man, I am ready. I'm ready for God to roar through me. I'm ready to get some boldness on my life. I'm ready to stand up. I'm ready to be counted. I'm going to make a stand this year. I am making a stand this year. I'm taking new ground this year. Devil, you are now in trouble. You kicked me one time too many. Now you got me fired up, fed up. You shouldn't have woken me up. You shouldn't have woken me up. But the moment you woke me up, you're in trouble now. Because I was enjoying that dream. Now I'm going to live that dream. And in that dream was a God dream of me whooping on you. So now I am going to actually live out the dream that God put in my heart while I was sleeping. How many of you today, that's me. I'm going to get the fire back. I want you to stand up. There's something going on in here. This is a new day. Many of you, you're coming into a new, fresh fire. There's a kingdom mentality where the violent live. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violent, and the violent, there's no passivity in the kingdom of God. You get to the point where you will not bow before man. You won't bow before demonic rule. You won't bow before it. You won't. You know, and many times they'll even try to throw you in a fire, but a fourth man's going to come in that fire. Come on. God's about ready to prove who's right. But he's not going to do it until the church is standing up on the inside. Till we're paying attention. Till we say, here, my God, fire me up, fire me up. Fire me up, because the things he told you years ago, it's still on. The deal is still on. And guess what? It's waning. We have a momentary thing to see something, or it's just passed on. It's just the way I'm so aware of this. Because God told me, he said, I don't want you in the back lines. I want you in the front lines. And I want you side by side with those you are training and rubbing yourself off on. And I want you to impart what you have to them. But I don't totally want you not to fight any giants. I want you to fight the giants. Show them. Train them. And release them. He said, I don't want you to pass the baton where you're living right now. I want you to create something that makes history. That literally, that your ceiling becomes their floor. And they can launch off of that. Come on. There is history makers in here. There are dreams God wants to put alive on the inside of it. There are things he spoke to you for years and years and years and years. And some of you hit a wall, but the wall is going to fall because it's time. It's time for God to perform what he said. It's time for us to get out of the boat and start walking on the water again. This is not a time for hiding in the rock until the storm passes. It's our time to get out of hiding and begin to rebuke the storm and take authority over it. Let the enemy know he thinks he's bringing a storm, but we are the storm. We are storming the gates of hell. We are changing everything around. Some of you are on catch a prophetic destiny. God's going to begin to download things from heaven in your zone, but it's prophetic. In your zone, but it's very prophetic. Things that you can see because it's your realm to see in. Pay attention. Because he's going to show you great and mighty things you know not. Or he's going to fill in some blanks. Many of you, you're being repositioned for the next move of God. And you need to know that. One of the things we're aware of is transition going on. And that transition is freeing us up to do what we're called to do. That's what it's doing. It's freeing us up, freeing us up, freeing us up, where now we can play a little different role, but it's a vital role in what's coming. Come on. And we can use and become a prophetic voice into lives that honestly are going to help shape history, but without our words, they're not going to get there. God told me years ago, he said, I've called you to be a Samuel. He said, I got David's hiding out there. Without your prophetic word, they'll never, ever take their place in the kingdom. You're assigned to activate them. If you'll listen to God during this time, he will give you an assignment. And it will become clear. You'll know your space. Because you reign in your own personal grace. You do. Right now, my space seems to be God is sending me people hungry for a move of God. And they're gleaning. I've been beginning to prophesy to some men, and some of them have been in the ministry for a long time, even though they're not that old. But they're saying something's coming alive. They said, you know, all of a sudden we're getting courage. We're getting strength. And I know what I'm doing. I'm speaking to their spirit. And a lot of the residue's coming off. And so some of you, God wants to speak directly spirit to spirit. Because honestly, your mind's been getting in your way. And your emotions have been lying to you. But God wants to speak spirit to activate your destiny. Show you who you are. Show you the part you're to play. And he'll use all your experience and anoint it. So you can actually help people not to fall in the same pits you fell into. They'll have their own pits. But it won't be the ones you fell into. So they'll have the advantage of your experience. Don't waste it. This is a new season. This area absolutely needs the prophetic to come forth. To begin to prophesy to the area and to the region. Prophesy new business, new growth. Prophesy progress in the spirit. Prophesy everything that is holding back. The progress of God will be removed. The enemy has strongholds even in this city. And they've ruled it for a long time. But those days are over. This is a new season. There's a whole new sheriff in town. I mean, God is God in heaven, but he has given authority on earth to man. And we say, now we are the authority. See, when the righteous rule, everybody gets blessed. It's not a power grab, but it's use of power for the good. Come on. Where it actually empowers people to be the best they can be. God's about ready to explode. I can sense it in my spirit. How many of you are ready for that explosion? It's like, God, I've heard word after word after word. Then let's grab hold. I don't want to have just another prophecy in a book. I want to walk it out. Years ago when my son was taking a history class, and he hated history. You know, even though he's brilliant at everything, the teacher asked him, they said, He said, why do you not like history? And he said, sir, he said, you teach history. And he said, that's good enough for you maybe, but I make history. So he said, later on, you'll be teaching about what I've done. So he said, just remember I was in your class. Because he said, I don't look back, I'm always looking forward, but I have to glean from the past to build for the future. So I do look back to build on it, but I don't live there. I don't live on what was. I don't live in what was even yesterday. I live on what's right now. How many of you ready to go into the future? And be honest with you, with God, it's always back to the future because he shows it to you. He shows you things to come. And many of you, with things he showed you years ago, you're going back to the future. Going back to the future. Come on. I honestly believe it's almost prophetic we're going back to the future. It's a new day. How many of you are ready for the new? God, I'm asking you for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I'm asking you for a freshness, God. I'm asking you to do what only you can do, God. I'm asking you that God begin to put new dreams and fresh visions and revisit things. I'm asking you, God, this area needs a prophetic move of God. It needs revival and it needs people that can hear your voice and obey your voice. Come on. I thank you, God. This is the day. This is the season. It's a new day. We are stepping on over. Devil, you tried to cross the line. Now we're taking everything back. We're going to take this nation back. We're not enslaved to fear anymore. We're getting out of the boat. We're walking on the water. We're going to do what's never been done before. Because you're going to show it to us and we're going to obey. We're going to hear your voice so clearly that we're going to be shocked about the clarity. You're bringing everything to light. And most of all, you're bringing us back in to the fullness of the light. And just like you, Jesus, when you were walked the earth, you said the darkness did not overcome you. Didn't comprehend. You came and you pushed back darkness. Now in your body, in this last move of God, the Son of God's going to be radiant through every one of us. And that light that we are beginning to shine is going to push back the darkness. And thank you for a season of mercy that you execute through the church as we speak, as we execute judgment in the Spirit, in Jesus' name. See, when we bind the works of the enemy in the Spirit, it looses mercy to work in people's lives. It's why the high praises need to be in our mouth, the two-edged sword in our hand, that we might execute vengeance. How many of you got some? How many of you know there's a roar? Some of you are going to be so bold before this week is over, you're going to get ridiculous and everyone can blame me for it. That's all right. I like being blamed. Thank you, Pastor. I'm going to get out of the way.